God moves in mysterious ways.
Yes.
His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps upon the sea. He rides upon the storm. God saw earth's hunger, so he sent heaven's bread. He saw earth's thirst, so he sent heaven's living water. He saw earth's sickness, so he sent heaven's healing. He saw earth's hurt, so he sent a balm in Gilead. There's a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And that balm that heals souls and saves souls is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. I want to look at one particular verse in that 20th chapter. Acts 20 and verse number 35. Good to see Miss Maria Moss all the way from Columbus, Georgia. Praise God. I told you wrong, Brother Mill. Yeah, I messed up. Acts 20, 35. Have that say amen. I have showed you all things that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Using that text, I want to talk from the subject for a few moments today. It is more blessed to give. It is more blessed to give. Now, when we look at this particular text today, what do we find in this particular text? We find Paul's example. Paul said, I have showed you all things, how that by laboring you ought to support the weak. And Paul, the great preacher and apostle, was not only a preacher, but he was a tent maker. And Paul labored on the mission field to provide funds for himself as well as for his co-workers. And in doing this, Paul is giving them an object lesson by word as well as by deed that there should be concern about the weak. Now, the Bible tells us the strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. It also tells us that when you have gained strength, when you are converted, you are to strengthen your brother. So the Bible is concerned about the weak. They should not be trampled over by the iron feet of oppression, but there should be concern in the kingdom of God about the weak. And then Paul gives a statement of Jesus that is not found in the gospel. We don't know when Jesus made this statement. We don't know the context or the circumstances of when Jesus made this statement, but we do know that the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You won't find this saying in the Gospels, Mark's account, Matthew's account, Luke's account, John's account. You won't find it in John's account. You won't find it in the epistles. But you find this saying in what is called the bridge of the New Testament, because the book of Acts, it's the bridge from the Gospels to the epistles. And in this text, Paul is citing a saying It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You see, the words of Jesus ought to have a special place in every New Testament Christian's heart. When Jesus speaks, you ought to simply say, "Speak, Lord, because your servant heareth." Is that all right? These words have a heavenly ring. These words are not of this world, because this word is all about getting. It's all about having. This word is about the me culture. This word is about what have you done for me lately. But Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, just a normal man didn't say that. That had to come from the Son of the living God. And Jesus made it clear that if you really want to be blessed, you got to learn the dynamics of giving. Amen? You got to learn what giving is all about. Well, in one sense, in a greater sense, in a truer sense, in a wider sense, we have to understand that receiving is important. Because in reality, everything we ever had or got, we received. Is that right? So it is a blessing to receive. But we're going to explore this idea a little deeper. But it is more blessed to give than to receive. When we look at the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, if you would join me there. 1 Chronicles 29, that's in the Old Testament now. Don't look in the New Testament, the Chronicles. Amen. 1 Chronicles. You're going to find Chronicles right after Kings. 1 Chronicles 29. And Brother Hiller, I need you to get from me 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 7. I want to start looking at this text from the 10th verse. And I want to show or demonstrate the reality that all that we have, we got it from God. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. And thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." Now watch this. "Both riches and honor come of thee." If you ever been broke off, God broke you off. Is that all right? Then he said, "In thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." I woke up this morning because the Lord woke me up. Is that all right? I was able to get out of my bed this morning because God woke me up. And then it says in verse 13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." I look at verse 14 very carefully. But David says, "But who am I? Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." So David is acknowledging the reality that all that I have and all that I give, I received it, first of all, from God. So in a greater sense, in a wider sense, in a truer sense, it is a blessing to receive. Now let's go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4. Brother Hillary, if you will read that from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 7. What does that say, my brother?
For who makes you different from anyone else?
Who makes you different from anyone else?
What do you have that you did not receive?
What do you have? Let's talk about it more. What do you have today that you didn't receive? If you have life, you received it. If you have strength, you received it. What do you have today that you did not receive? Come on, Brother Hillary.
And if you did receive it.
And if you did receive it.
Why do you boast as though you did not?
Is this not the day that the Lord has made?
Yes, sir.
And let us do what? Rejoice and be
glad.
Did we receive this day?
Yes, sir.
Don't we say, give us this day?
Yes.
Our daily bread. Is that all right?
Right.
What is it that you have that you did not receive? Come on.
Already you have all you want.
Already you have all you want. You know, in this text, Paul is dealing with the concept of stewardship. And in stewardship, one key critical idea is that people who are stewards got to be faithful. They got to be dependable. They got to be trustworthy. They got to be reliable. And that's why the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, can't go forward if you don't have faithful men and women. That's why the Bible says, commit the work of the church into the hands of faithful men. If one is going to be a steward, if somebody's going to manage your money, don't you want them to be reliable?
Amen.
Don't you want them to be trustworthy?
Yes,
don't you want them to be dependable?
Yes.
And in this text, he's dealing with the mysteries of Christ. And he's saying that the mysteries of Christ is something that we should be stewards. And to be stewards, we ought to be faithful. But whatever we have, he points out, it has been entrusted into our care. The church will go out of business if people aren't faithful. If some people attended their jobs the way they attended church, they wouldn't have a job. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? Because you've got to be faithful, trustworthy, dependable. But even in this text, he points out, what is it that you have in your life right now? If you got children, guess who gave them to you?
Amen.
Hello? Got a new house, guess who gave it to you? Got a new job, guess who gave it to you? Like Brother Ryan said, if you got blinged up this morning, guess who gave it to you? Is that all right? Everything that we have. Let's say you're 50 years old. You know who gave you 50 years of life?
Amen.
Say you're 60 years old. Who gave you 60 years?
Amen.
Say you're 70 years old. Who gave you 70 years?
Right.
Say you're 80 years old. Huh? Say you're 2 years old.
All right.
Who gave it to you? Everything we have, in a wider sense, in a greater sense, in a truer sense, all that we have, we received. Amen.
Amen.
So receiving is important.
Amen.
Let's think about some things that people have received.
Right.
And to receive simply means that you are the recipient of something that someone has given you. Is that right? Do you like receiving?
All right.
You like for folks to give you stuff?
Amen.
You like for God to give you things? Do you like giving?
Yes, sir.
Y'all kind of weak on that one. You like receiving, right? But do you like giving? Is that all right? Let's think about some things that people have received. In the book of Job, Job chapter 2 and verse 10, Job's world was unraveling. His life was coming apart. Sometimes your life can unravel and it's not even your fault. Well, I wish I had some help here. I wish somebody could say amen on that point.
Amen.
Sometimes things can come apart and it's not necessarily your fault. And I know when things come apart, people have a tendency to look to see, well, what are they doing wrong?
Yeah.
It may be very well that you are doing something wrong, but not all the time. Because Job was a righteous man, one who feared God, tried to be obedient to God, and yet his world is coming apart. And his wife becomes frustrated. And she said, dost thou still maintain thine integrity? Why don't you curse God and die, Job? You ever feel like giving up sometimes? You ever feel like David said, if I have the wings of a dove, I'd just fly away where I could be at rest. Is that all right? And Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we not, watch this, receive good things at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? If God can bless me with good things, surely he can send some chastisement into my life as well. And then, in the book of Matthew 11, verse 5, Jesus said, he said that the blind receive their sight. He said, lepers are clean. The lame walk. The deaf can hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them because they received it. In Hebrews 11:11, Sarah, and she was past her conceptual years. You see, God is so fixed in the female analogy, anatomy. Not analogy, but anatomy. God has sealed the reproductive moments. Amen. And a woman, God has so fixed it that during a woman's reproductive years and she has health and strength, she is the producer of life. Yes, sir. It's a great honor to produce life. Well, Sarah, the sun has set on her reproductive capabilities. She wanted a baby, but she couldn't have one. And she was well past her years. And yet the Bible says in Hebrews 11:11 that Sarah received, there it is again, strength to conceive. Can you imagine? And I would dare say that every woman in this audience today who have gone through the rigors of childbearing and delivery know you need strength to get that job done. Amen. Let me run it by them again. Maybe they didn't hear it. Maybe they didn't hear it. I said, let me give you the short version. I said that it takes strength to conceive and deliver a baby. And see, God knew men couldn't handle it. Amen. Y'all might as well come on here and say amen. That's why he gave it to the women. And they have done a magnificent job handling it. Is that all right? But Sarah received strength to have a baby well past her reproductive moments. Because there's something about receiving. Is that all right? And then you have to be very careful how you receive the word. Huh? See, this is God's word. How do you receive it? You gotta, if you really want the maximum benefit from it, you must be careful how you receive it. Is that all right? What do you have that you didn't receive? The Bible says in Acts 2:41, they that gladly received the word were baptized. You see, when you gladly receive the word, You don't run from baptism. You say, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Yes, sir.
Is that all right?
All right, preacher.
Look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, Brother Hillary. I want this read because it makes a very powerful point. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13.
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing.
All right.
So when you receive the word of
Watch
God.
Watch this. When you receive, there it is again. When you received. How many can remember the day you received the word of God? And Christ became your Lord and Savior. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Which ye heard of us.
Start over, Brother Hillary. You said it again. What does it say?
For this cause also.
Thank
we God.
We thank
ceasing.
God.
Without ceasing.
Because
when, ye receive the word
when
of God,
you received the word of God.
Which ye heard of us.
Which you heard preached through us.
You received it not
you
as the
received
word.
It. Watch this now. Very important point. You received it.
Not as the word of
not men. As the word of whom?
Men.
You see, that's the problem. A lot of people are receiving the words of men and think they're the words of God. Very important point. You received it not as the word of men. Come on.
But as it is in truth.
But as it is in truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future and behind the dim unknown. God standeth within the shadows, keeping watch above his own.
Yes, sir.
God's word is truth. Buy the truth and don't you dare sell it. It's an honor to receive God's word. Read, brother.
The word of God.
You see, God's word works in your life. It effectually, God works to give spiritual energy into your life.
Amen.
Is that all right? Which effectually work in them.
Also in you that believe.
But you got to believe it. For God's word to bless your life, you got to receive it and you got to believe it. Is that all right? And then in the book of James, James 1:21, it says, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, watch it, and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your soul.
Amen.
How many want to be saved?
Amen.
You got to receive the word if you want to be saved.
Right,
is that all right?
Amen.
Acts 17, verse 11 say, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they did what? And they searched the scriptures on the weekend. Every quarter. Daily. To see whether those things were so. So it's a blessing to receive. Can you say amen to that? Have you been blessed by receiving? Huh? When you work, don't you expect to receive? If you do somebody a favor, do you expect to get one back? Remember where you at. I mean where you are. Is that all right? Here's the second point. I didn't give you the first one, but the first point was it is a blessing to receive. Here's the second and final point, and that is it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. It is more blessed to give. When you give, you impart something to someone. When you give a good or a service to someone. When you give, you are devoting a sacrifice to someone. Now, it's a blessing to give, to receive. I get real happy when I receive. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But it is more of a blessing. Can I get heavy? It is more of a blessing. How many today have learned the joy of giving?
Amen.
You see, in order to help us to understand the importance of giving, Jesus almost put a flashing fluorescent light, because he attached a blessing to giving. Now, it's a blessing to receive. Don't misunderstand it, because all that I have, I received. And even when I give today, I'm just giving back God money he gave me. Hello? Because all that belongs to him. Is that correct? I brought nothing into this world. And guess what? When I leave here, ain't no sense in putting no U-Haul behind the hearse when I'm riding in it. Because when I'm riding, I won't even know I'm riding in it. Is that all right? So it's sort of like, I heard the story about rich man died in New York, and folks were passing by the bier, and they said, well, how much did he leave? And the old lady said, he left it all. And she's after he left it all. Is that all right? So it's a good thing to be able to receive. But in order to help us to understand this, the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed. More blessed to give than to receive. Now Jesus talked the talk and he walked the walk.
Amen, sir.
Now some people talk the talk, but they don't. Huh? You ever heard the saying, put your money where your mouth is? You ever heard the saying, where the rubber meets the road?
Yes, sir.
You ever heard the saying, when the going get tough,
yes, sir,
the tough
get going.
Is that all right? Jesus walked the talk. Listen to 1 Peter 2:21. For hereunto were you called. For Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. It's the Greek word hupogrammos, which literally means to write under. How many can remember? I hope it hadn't been too long. When you were in kindergarten or first grade. Let us go way back in time. Way back. Amen. Before the dinosaurs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Stretch that. Amen. But do you remember when you were trying to learn penmanship?
Yes, sir.
And I had my, you see, my kindergarten teacher, Maddie, was Miss Williams. Amen. Mm-hmm. Miss Williams, you know, she was rough. She was a rough customer. When you left Miss Williams, you knew how to write. Or you had some sore knuckles. Is that all right? And we had this big number 2 pencil. Y'all remember that? Cornbread. Hillary, I think I for your day, Hillary. Cornbread tablet. You had a cornbread tablet? Okay. Hillary said he had a cornbread tablet. And on the line they had the letters,
yeah.
The A, and it was just so perfect. And it was your job,
yes, sir,
to try to imitate and make your letters look as close to the example as you could.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jesus Christ has left some writing for us,
yeah.
And we're to make our lives look as close to his life as we can. So he left me an example in suffering. When I'm suffering, he teaches me how to deal with and handle suffering. He left me an example in giving. He teaches me that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen? In other words, we are to follow in the steps of Jesus. I heard the hymnologist, sweetly, Lord, we have heard you calling. Come, follow me. And we know where your footsteps are falling. They lead us to thee. footprints of Jesus,
yes,
that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus,
amen,
wherever they go.
Yes,
though they lead by the dark, cold mountains, seeking the sheep, or if they lead by the pool of Siloam, helping the weak, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Oh, I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was born in another man's stable. He went to another man's school. He preached in another man's boat. He rode on another man's coat. Is that all right? He died for another man's sins. He was buried in another man's tomb. But he got up by his own power. He was born to give. He died to give. He ever lives to give. It's more blessed, Jesus says, to give, thank you, Lord, than it is to receive. 2 Corinthians 8:9, now you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Let me tell you something. Nothing wrong with being rich materially. Nothing wrong with that, provided you got it right and you do right with it. But it's far greater to be rich spiritually.
Amen.
Is that all right?
All right?
It's far better to be rich spiritually. So in conclusion today, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. The New Jerusalem Bible puts it this way. It says, the man is more happy that gives than the one that received. Now, he didn't say that the man who received wasn't happy. Don't miss the point. But the man who gives is more happy than the man that receives. Dr. Adam Clark, a great Bible scholar, said that it is that the man who gives is more happy than the man that received. But we can do better than that, because King Jesus said, the man that gives is more blessed than the one that receives. I got to understand the joy of giving. Is that all right? And let me tell you this as I conclude. When you give, you are making an investment. It's an investment. Is that all right? And you are making, how many believe in investing? All of us should. Huh? You should invest, shouldn't you? Right? You should be in a financial situation where somebody is paying you interest and it's not always you paying the interest. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? Because as long as you always pay the interest, guess what? That Jesus calling.
Yeah.
When you pay the interest, you'll never get ahead.
Right.
Is that right? So giving is an investment in the kingdom of God. I have an investment in the kingdom of God, don't you?
Amen.
Giving is an investment in your future. Amen. Giving is an investment in your destiny. Giving helps me to stop always thinking about me and start to thinking about others. Now, there are different levels of giving. We give on the first day of the week. And remember this, God loves a hilarious, cheerful giver. Now, we read in the Bible how God's attitude towards stingy, greedy, and covetous folks. And you got some greedy folks in this world. Hello? That's the rich man. Well, man, how much money do you want to make? Just want to make a little more. Amen? Right. Well, we know what God's attitude is toward people who are greedy and stingy and covetous and always concerned about themselves. They are never rich toward God. We know what God's attitude is toward people who are greedy and stingy and tighter than 10 goatskin drums. That's pretty tight, ain't it? But also we know God's attitude toward people who revere him. You see, the book of Proverbs is about receiving. To receive the instruction in wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. That's what it's about, the wise man said. And I'm to receive counsel so I can be wise at my latter end. One thing God is continually telling me, be wise. Be wise. And that covers the whole gamut of my life. Amen. Be wise enough to exercise, Moss. Be wise enough to eat right. And I ain't always wise in that area. Y'all might well say amen to, because y'all joining me. Praise God. Is that all right? Be wise in your finances. Be wise, be wise, be wise. Is that right? Well, I know that God loveth a cheerful giver. And let me tell you something. You can never lose investing in God. Never. Never. Some people sow sparingly. Hello? You see, if you took a cup of corn to the field to plant it, when harvest time comes, how much corn you think you're going to get? But if you take a bucket full of corn and you plant that, how much corn do you think you're going to get? Here's the principle. Look at it. Watch it. Here's the principle. Let this bless your life. Let it bless your life. God loveth a cheerful giver. Giving to the Lord should not be like paying your income tax. Think I said something right there, Jackie? I can't get no feedback on that. No feedback. Is that all right? Giving to God should be a joy. Because if I sow sparingly, if I'm dealing with God on the cheap,
come on, preacher.
Hello? I'm giving to God as less as I can.
Come on, preacher, make it plain now.
What's going to happen? When in a little while, we're going to go to the other parts of our service. We have the invitation to extend. We have the communion, where we remember this great sacrifice that our Lord made.
Yes, sir.
And then he gives us a chance to move away from self and become a cheerful and bring a blessing on your life.
Amen.
Because God loves a cheerful giver. And let me tell you something. As long as you invest in the kingdom of God, you will never lose.
Never.
Huh? Now, we're not telling you, don't be wise But be wise enough to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Because that's going to pay off for you sooner or later. Maybe, just maybe, think about this. Maybe we have not experienced the financial prosperity that we could have experienced because we tried to play God on the cheap. Hello? You want God to give you a new job and another rag, you're going to give the same amount of money.
Look out, preacher.
That you've been given. Hello? Preach, Moss. Won't you get through your melon now I'm preaching.
Come on, preach on.
Is that all right?
Preach on, brother.
Maybe doors are shut for me because I hadn't learned the joy of helping people.
Come on, preach
on. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to conclude. I'm sure that in the history of the church, as it deals benevolently, trying to help people, because Jesus did say you got to help the weak, didn't he say that? But also, let me say this. We must help the weak, yet we must teach people to help themselves. Is that right? We should help the weak, but also we should help ourselves. And I'm sure that in the course of trying to help people, that there are some people who've gotten over on the church.
Amen.
We talked about this past weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah.
In case you hadn't heard, somebody is using this church name, running a scam.
Yeah.
And so, Spirit, thank you for that. I went on Facebook and I saw what you did. That was beautiful. Let you know that you got a lot of takers out there. A lady called me from the Heritage Church of Christ and told me, she said, well, who are you? Well, who you want? So like one time, you know, you get all kind of phone calls. One time I answered the phone in the office, Hillary. They say, is this Peter Martha? Yes, it is. This is the FBI. I said, FBI? My goodness, what in the world the FBI doing calling me? And fortunately, they just wanted me to recommend somebody who was trying to get a job. And I said, phew. Is that all right? But I think it is always better to err on the side of mercy than to not. Amen? Because didn't Jesus say, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison. You came unto me. Didn't he say that? And he's left us an example that we should follow his steps. But I'm going to my sleep, but I hear the voice of Jesus coming down through the centuries. Is coming down through the corridors of time. And he's saying it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can you hear him, y'all? Can't you hear the master saying it is more blessed to give than to receive? Can't you hear the master saying, I want you to hear the voice of the master, because the master is always concerned about people giving. Is that all right? The master is always concerned about people giving. And Brother Bailey read in the scriptural text, one day Jesus sat by the treasury. He sat over against the treasury and he was watching how folks came by and they placed money into the treasury. Is that all right? Oh, he sat there watching how they gave. I said he sat there watching how they gave. I said he sat there watching how they gave. Is that all right? Well, a rich man came by and he put his donation into the tray, and Jesus just sat there and watched how he gave. Is that all right? I'm convinced some middle class folks came by Brother Milton and they put money in the treasury and Jesus sat there watching how they gave. Is that all right? But oh, Lord have mercy. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. Is that all right? A poor widow started moving toward the treasury. And Jesus had his eyes on her. Yes, he did. Is that all right? And in her hand, she had two mites or two copper coins that only make a fraction of a penny. Is that all right? And Jesus watched her and she put those two pennies in the treasury. And Jesus said, oh, disciples, I need y'all to come here. Is that all right? He said, oh, this is a teachable moment. He said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, y'all need to come here. Is that all right? He said, because this poor widow, she didn't have a husband. Is that all right? Oh, she didn't have a whole lot of money. Is that all right? But oh, the Bible says she put in. I said she beat the rich folks giving. I said she beat the rich folks giving. Oh, I said she beat the rich folks giving. Is that all right? Because when the rich man gave, he gave out of his abundance. But the poor woman, she cast in all. I don't think you heard me. All her living. Is that all right? I tell you, there are some higher blessings. Is that all right? There's physical bread, and there's the bread of life. There's physical water, and there's living water. There's life, and there's everlasting life. Is that all right? There's receiving, and there is giving. Is that all right? And it's more blessed to give. I said it's more blessed to give. There's a joy in giving you can't receive in receiving. And the only way you can do it, you got to give. You see, you can give without loving. But you can't love without giving. Stand on your feet. That's the message. That's the message this morning. It is more blessed to give. It's invitation time now. It's prayer time now. Whatever you need right now. If you need prayer, it's time for you to receive. Amen. We receive the forgiveness of sins. Acts 10:43. How many have received the forgiveness of sin? Yes, and I want to let you know that is a blessing. Amen. It's the greatest blessing of life to receive in Jesus' name the forgiveness of sin. Amen. And if you haven't received that, you need to before it's too late. Amen. You just can't live in this world and say you'll be all right without Jesus. You can't be all right without Jesus. Is that all right? Now, next Sunday, if the Lord allow me to see it, I'm working on a special message entitled, Don't Let the Devil Hoodwink You. Now, you don't want to miss that one. Don't let the devil bamboozle you. Don't let the devil flim-flam you. Don't you be the devil's pigeon. I used to watch the cartoon, Jack, and sometimes they say, well, here come the pigeon now. And they wasn't talking about a bird either. They were talking about somebody who's gullible. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, it is so much deception in this world now. I mean, this world is filled with deception. And the devil is hoodwinking. We're going to talk about that on next Sunday, if the Lord let us see it. But in the meantime, what about giving? Are you ready to give your life to Jesus? Well, Brother Moss, I'd like to. How can I do it? You hear the gospel, you believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. And then he will give you, give you the remission of sin. He'll give you, your name will be written down where? Lamb's book of life. And one day you will receive, watch this, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Isn't that what it's all about? My faith is leading me to heaven. Without faith, I can't please God. So this is invitation time. Is there a need in you? Does anybody have a need today? Do you need prayer today? Do you need strength today? Do you need forgiveness today? What is it you have right now you haven't received? Do you need a blessing today? This is your time to receive that blessing. Are you here? Oh Lord, I come to receive. To receive
my blessing.
Patiently waiting. For the harvest.
I got the Hebrews 11 and 1.
The counterfeit. And it's mine.
All mine.
Oh, yeah.